Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running to the mercy seat. And so the confession is very important in our country returning back to the Lord. And this is Deeper Truth. Welcome to Deeper Truth, our 54-day prayer for America. When America is strong, the world is safer. And so today is September the 9th, 2022. And this is day 17 of our 54-day prayer for America. And Grace Force, this would be day 18. And so Deeper Truth and Grace Force, it's important for us to utilize the confessional. I know Father Helaman and all our Catholic priests, the importance that we have to go to confession, to run to the mercy seat, especially if you got the threat of mortal sin. Ooh, no, no, no. Don't let that be hanging around your neck. Get rid of it. Go to confession. Confess. And the Lord takes those sins that you confess, and he throws them into the sea of forgiveness, and he remembers them no more. That's why I call it the mercy seat, because the confessional is the mercy seat of God. It is here that Jesus cleanses our soul through the action of his ministers, through the action of the great sacrament of confession. And we're going to talk about that a little bit because it's important. Because we're wanting and we're praying for America. And Jesus gives us the means to cleanse ourselves through this great sacrament. It's so important. And so, absolution in the confessional, the mercy seat of God. And have you ever been asked why Catholics must go to confession? And I wish I had had a nickel ever for every time I've heard or been challenged with that. In the Bible, we see where Jesus offered absolution to the woman caught in adultery. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. When everyone else dropped their rocks and left, Jesus gave absolution to St. Dismas on the cross. Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43, which are great examples of God's mercy. The entire New Testament speaks of the Lord's coming to set the captives free. The message of forgiveness is mentioned 33 times in the New Testament. Jesus makes this extraordinary charge to the apostles on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive men's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." John chapter 20, verse 19 to 24. Consider the words Jesus uses clearly, giving his apostles this authority. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Why did the Father send Jesus to the world? To bring about reconciliation to all mankind, to those who will accept the Lord's grace. Why is it that people have a problem with this passage of Scripture? I place the problem among three different groups of people. Number one, some people are afraid what the priest might think about them. I think this group is common because people feel bringing their sins to bear is difficult. Some things are hard to admit. I think for these people, the confessional is an act of humility. We must be humble before the Lord. I can certainly identify with this, but I must admit something here. When you offer a good confession, a good examination of conscience, confession is really liberating. To acknowledge our sins and to come to grip with them gives us the fighting chance to overcome them. And then the second group, some people do not see the need for it. These people refuse to confess their sin many times because they do not recognize they're living in sin. Some might think that they are good people who do not need to confess their sins. I'm a good person. I'm no worse than the next person. And sometimes people bury their sins and forget about it until it comes out subconsciously later on. People are not really honest with themselves, because if they were, they would recognize how much they need Jesus in their lives. Confession is a healing sacrament, and we all need his healing, just like the woman caught in adultery, like St. Dismas. All of us need his healing. And then there's a third group. Some people deny and reject the need to see a priest. Denominations have developed by the thousands looking for ways to restore their relationship with God. They will assert that you do not need a middleman to go through. Some will see the priesthood of Christ as something represented by every person, not just a chosen few who are duly ordained. They will say the priesthood of Levi was done when Christ came and died on the cross. These have been misinformed because they can't see the church Christ established, where he gives them this mission, his mission. You can't take out the middleman without ultimately being disobedient to Jesus himself. Consider the signs worked among the apostles. People were healed just trying to reach the shadow of St. Peter as he walked nearby the sick, Acts chapter 5, verse 15. Aprons and towels, hand cloths, handkerchiefs were touched to the body of St. Paul and taken to the sick and oppressed, and many were cured, Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. These signs and wonders were worked among the apostles. So when they offered absolution, great works were done, healing the people, cleansing the people of their sins. And St. Paul writes, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18. And so this is confession. And so Nick Alexander, Catholic convert and singer, Nick Alexander, with his song, Confession.
Now you're annoyed. Confession.
And we are. We have the need to go to confession. Sin has its consequence, plunging souls into darkness, especially when mortal sin is involved. James chapter 5, 19 through 20 states, "My brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings them back, let them know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of their way will save their soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." When a person goes to confession, the Lord takes those sins and throws them into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. The confessional then truly is the mercy seat of God, because it is there that the sinner is fully restored to the life of grace. When a person lives the life of grace, they will frequent the sacrament of confession often. St. Peter warns, "Be sober and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. Because of temptation and the lures of the world, people open themselves up to demonic instructions." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 warns, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons through the pretensions of liars whose consciences are seared." This is a major battle, and souls are at stake. That is why Jesus established the sacrament of confession. St. Paul writes, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, the church, the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. One confession is worth more than 100 exorcisms. Yes, the Catholic Church has been given the charism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his apostles, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." The devil really has no power over you when you are obedient to Christ and living the life of grace. But sometimes people give him an invitation, falling into occult practices, drugs, power, and promiscuous behavior. So people are not only demon-oppressed, but sometimes there are those who are possessed. And St. Paul testifies, "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by soothsaying. She followed Paul and us, crying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul was annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very hour." Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 18. And when you go to confession, and when Father raises his right hand to give you absolution, you are free. You are clean. Demon possession is the ultimate in being held in bondage. And praise the Lord for his working in the church to aid those who decided to either play or to pay later or not pay at all. James chapter 4, verse 7 states, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. True liberty is the freedom to serve the Lord in a right, sober mind. Let us keep faith and persevere past the trials of this age. Through confession, your soul becomes pure and spotless. Redemption is yours. It is a spiritual bath. Glorious Saint Michael, Prince of the Heavenly Host, who stands always ready to give assistance to the people of God, who did fight with the dragon, the old serpent, and did cast him out of heaven, and now valiantly defends the Church of God, that the gates of hell may never prevail against her. I earnestly entreat you to assist me also in the painful and dangerous conflict which I have to sustain against the same formidable foe. Be with me, O mighty Prince, that I may courageously fight and wholly vanquish that proud spirit whom thou hast by the divine power so gloriously overthrown, and whom our powerful King, Jesus Christ, has in our nature so completely overcome, to the end that having triumphed over the enemy of my salvation, I may with you and the holy angels praise the clemency of God, who having refused mercy to the rebellious angels after their fall, has granted repentance and forgiveness to fallen man. Amen. And so by going to confession, you can be clean. Be clean. And by going to confession, we can be clean. I remember the hearing of an exorcism that took place in California when a Catholic priest was commissioned by the local bishop to conduct the procedure. Priests will usually have prayerful help coming from others who are in good standing with the church. During this particular exorcism, the demon was trying to stall, as often they do. His tactic was to use a nun helping with the procedure, saying, "The demon began spouting her sins. Father showed great leadership, knowing what to do. He closed down the exorcism for that moment and took the nun out into another room where she went to confession. And once again, after the exorcism was resumed following the confession, the demon attempted to employ the same tactic, but this time the nun's soul was pure and spotless. What an occasion to see the truth of the confessional from the other side, the enemy. Through confession, your soul becomes pure and spotless. Redemption is yours. It is a spiritual bath. And we should go often. We should all go often. Because we should forgive others as we ask God to forgive us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we should forgive 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Yesterday, we celebrated our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary's birthday. And what great present we can offer her by going to confession and making ourselves right for God, which is what she is calling and asking for. She wants us to get right with God. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 15, verse 3. So he, Jesus, told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Oh, my. And that should be our business as well. And many of us have family and friends and associates, people we love, that have fallen away from the church. And we need to pray for them, yes. But we also need to be strong to bring America and to pray for America. And that's why, to be an American, to be restored. So we're getting back online.
Yearning to find myself and to see this land of the free and the brave. I saw my first mountain sunrise from an Appalachian range. I felt a heavenly presence and a rushing wind of change. I am an American man. I'm made of American dreams. I am an American man. The land who toil with their hands for an honest day's wage. I've seen the stuff from which legends were born and destinies reached and histories made. It seems we've come to a crossroads. All our standards are compromised. I pray that our lady liberty will awaken before she dies.
I am an American man.
His face.
then he will hear us from heaven and heal our land of the free and brave.
I am an American man. I'm made of American dreams. I am an American man. Returning to the things.
The month of September is dedicated to the Seven Sorrows of Mary by the Catholic Church. The Seven Sorrows of Mary are, number one, St. Simeon's Prophecy, Luke chapter 2, verse 35. Number two, the Flight into Egypt, Matthew chapter 2, 13, verse 4, 13, verses 13 and 14. Number three, the loss of Jesus in the temple, Luke chapter 2, verses 44 through 52. Number four, the meeting of Mary and Jesus on the way to Calvary. And you can get the story from tradition as well, Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 32. Number five, the crucifixion and death of Jesus. And you can, John chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. Number six, the piercing of the side of Jesus and his descent from the cross. John chapter 19, verses 31 through 37. And yes, tradition. And number seven, the burial of Jesus. John chapter 19, 38. Verses 38-42. According to St. Alphonsus de Liguori, in his The Glories of Mary, it was revealed to St. Elizabeth that at the request of Our Lady, Our Lord promised graces to those devoted to her sorrows. Number one, I will grant peace to their families. Number two, they will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. Number three, I will console them in their pains and will accompany them in their work. Number four, I will give them as much as they ask for, as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. Number five, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. Number six, I will visibly help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother. Number seven, I have obtained this grace from my divine Son, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven and my Son will be their eternal consolation and joy. And so Our Lady's sorrows. O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pope Pius VII approved series of prayers in honor of the Seven Sorrows for daily meditation in 1815. O come, O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I grieve for thee, O Mary, most sorrowful, in the consternation of your heart, at meeting Jesus as he carried his cross. Dear Mother, by your heart so troubled, obtain for me the virtue of patience and the gift of fortitude. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Virgin, most sorrowful, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. And let us pray. That intercession be made for us, we beseech you, O Lord Jesus Christ, now and at the hour of our death, before the throne of your mercy, by the Blessed Virgin Mary, your mother, our mother, whose most holy soul was pierced by a sword of sorrow in the hour of your bitter passion. We ask this through you, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns world without end. Amen. And so we want to dedicate this prayer, pray for America, and pray for all of our children, all our children who are being misled, who are being manipulated, who are being, oh, this is horrible with what's going on in America today, with what they're trying to do with all this trans. Oh, my. Bring us back to you, Lord. Bring us back. And so, let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you, and I detest all my sins because of your just punishments, but most of all because you're all good and deserving of all my love. And I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Amen. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Sweet Mother Mary, I offer you this spiritual communion to bind my bouquet in a wreath to place upon your brow. O, my Mother, look with favor upon my gift, and in your love obtain for me. We pray for America, for my healing and my wife Gigi's healing. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. And conversion of our family members who've gone astray. Our Lady of America, you ask that the United States of America be the country dedicated to your purity, and that your children in America be the children of your pure heart. Please intercede for us that we may be granted this grace with morally good leaders who will act according to the revealed will of God and the foundational principles of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. Hail, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, my Mother. Hail, Mother Mary, hail. At your feet I humbly kneel to offer a crown of roses, snow-white buds to remind you of your joys. Each bud recalling to you a holy mystery, each 10 bound together with my petition for a particular grace. O Holy Queen, dispenser of God's graces and mother of all who invoke you, you cannot look upon my gift and fail to see its binding. As you receive my gift, so will you receive my petition. From your bounty, you will give me the favor I so earnestly and trustingly seek. I despair of nothing that I ask of you. Show yourself my mother. When America is strong, the world is safer. Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth, intercede for us, your children in America, as we pray for our nation, our military, and our families. We pray for our government leaders, that they will make just decisions and govern us in accordance with truth and the principles upon which our nation was founded. We ask protection for those serving in the military and for our first responders. Bless them and their families as they sacrifice themselves to keep us safe. We pray for our families in a culture that seeks to destroy the morals and values upon which this country was founded. May our families be united in faith and charity, and for the strength and unity of our church, and for the protection of the family and our nation, and for the shepherds, our shepherds, that they will pasture over the flock, not to lord it over them, but to lead them by example. Reclaim this great country for your son's glory, that under his protection and guidance, we may stand together as a people of faith and trust in him for the changes we seek. O blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We ask forgiveness. Excuse me. We ask forgiveness for our offenses against you. We seek your loving care for all our needs and requests. You have blessed our nation and given us countless gifts, our freedom and the ability to seek your will every day are among our dearest possessions. But in turning away from you, we not only risk the loss of our country, what it has stood for, but we also offend you, who are all good and deserving of all our love. We offer to you prayer, this novena we have made as Americans, Deeper Truth and Grace Force. We ask that you hear us, and through your fathomless mercy, convert the hearts of our people and bring them back to you. May our land once more ring out with praise of you and the most loving Virgin Mary, to whom we have entrusted the petitions in this novena, this prayer. Most Holy God, we thank you for hearing us. May our hearts praise you forevermore. Amen. Dear Jesus, allow the truth of holy love to flood the hearts of this nation. Place truth in the center of every heart. Return this nation to its rightful place under the dominion of God. Amen. Dear Jesus, inspire the hearts of legislators to bring fairness to every law. In so doing, inspire lawmakers to remove contradiction from laws concerning life in the womb, so that no one is forced to support contraception or abortion against their free will. Do not allow religious freedom to be trampled under the feet of those who favor death in the womb. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen. Mother of our Creator, pray that we receive the gift of knowledge And remember this, when Satan wants to remind you of your past, we can always remind him of his future. St. Teresa of Avila gave us that instruction. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people perish for want of knowledge. Since you yourselves have rejected knowledge, so I shall reject you from my priesthood, since you have forgotten the teaching of your God. I, in my turn, shall forget your children. We don't want that upon us. No, 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 no. St. Augustine said this, we judge all things according to the divine truth. St. Thomas Aquinas, he said, A scrap of knowledge about sublime things is worth more than any amount about trivialities. And Saint Bernard, and he had this to say, there are some who desire knowledge merely for its own sake, and that is shameful curiosity. And there are others who desire to know in order that they may themselves be known. And this is vanity. Disgraceful too. Others again desire knowledge in order to acquire money or preferment by it. That too is a discreditable quest. But there are also some who desire knowledge that they may build up the souls of others with it, and that is charity. Others again desire it that they may themselves be built up thereby. And that is prudence. Of all these types, only the last two put knowledge to the right use. So with knowledge, let us seek charity and be prudent. The gift of knowledge, one of the seven infused gifts by the illuminating action of the Holy Spirit. It perfects the virtue of faith. It gives a person the ability to judge everything from a supernatural viewpoint. The object of this gift is the source, the whole spectrum of created things insofar as they lead one to God. Through infused knowledge, the faithful can see the providential purpose of whatever enters their lives, and they are able to put creatures to the right use according to God's will for themselves and for others, sometimes called the science of the saints. It enables those who have the gift to discern easily and effectively between the impulses of temptation and the inspirations of grace. And thank you, Father John Harden, taken from the Modern Catholic Dictionary. And so, to pray the rosary. And yes, today is Friday. So that would be the sorrowful mysteries. But for the purpose of this novena for Grace Force, the joyful mysteries, to pray the rosary. Now, after each decade, after the Fatima prayer, each decade has a concluding prayer. I bind these snow-white buds with a petition for the virtue of humility and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. Then after the second decade, I bind these snow-white buds with a petition for the virtue of charity and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. And then after the Fatima prayer, the third mystery, I bind these snow-white buds with a petition for the virtue of detachment from the world and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. And then after the fourth decade, after the Fatima prayer, the concluding prayer, I bind these snow-white buds with a petition for the virtue of purity and humbly lay this okay at your feet. And after the fifth decade in the Fatima prayer, the concluding prayer, I bind these snow white buds with a petition for the virtue of obedience to the will of God, and humbly lay this bouquet at your feet. And we celebrated Our Lady's birthday yesterday, and this would be great to lay as a bouquet at her feet, and asking for the virtue of humility and charity and detachment from the world and the virtue of purity to imitate her and the virtue of obedience to the will of God. And amen to this. And so the mission of the United States Grace Force, and of course, Deeper Truth, Special Operations Force, specifically trained in spiritual warfare and intercessory prayer. The United States Grace Force capabilities include the large scale of powerful supernatural weapons, sacramentals, and prayers. While there are various special operations, the primary mission of the United States Grace Force is to implore God's protection and blessing on our nation, especially imploring God's protection for those who put their lives on the line to protect and defend our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Oh, and thank you, Father Helaman, and for the addition there that you bring to the rosary. And God bless everybody in this, and to pray for America, to pray the rosary, to pray the rosary. And Donna Lee, Catholic artist. I love her version of Immaculate Mary. And that's such a powerful song, simple song, but it's powerful. It's one that Our Lord loves, Our Lady loves. She loves this, Our Lady loves this song. Here's Immaculate Heart by Catholic artist Donna Lee.
Praises we sing. Blessed Mother, we pray to Thee. Thanks for the miracle of Your rosary. Only You can hold back Your holy Son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now and at the hour of our death, and thanks once again for the miracle of Your rosary.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to Your protection, implored Your help, or sought Your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto You, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To You do I come, before You I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in Your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. And pray for America. Pray for us. Pray for me and my wife, Gigi, and all our children and relatives and family and friends. Pray for America. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. Because the Lord And yes, I love putting music with this because, especially when you're doing things, you may be working on the computer or you may be doing something and you can listen to this in the background and you can pray with this in the background and you can meditate with this in the background. And if you're doing something, it's good to have. And hopefully what we present in our talk will help and does help or, you know, encourages you. And those from Grace Force, because they're doing many good things. And so Deeper Truth and Grace Force, we team up. Well, we're kind of doing our things, you know, with Deeper Truth, but I love what Grace Force is doing. And so to go to confession, we definitely did that. And so here's Donna Corey Gibson with a powerful prayer.
close to you.